The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
I have some stories to tell you. It was 6 a.m., at least I think so, 3 a.m. our time, in the Charlotte airport. And I was a little befuddled and jet-lagged, and I was rounding the corner, and I heard singing. And it went something like this. This is a happy place. Good morning, good morning, good morning. What do you have, sir? Oh, juice is awfully tasty. Let me ring that up for you. And I went around, and I was thinking, oh, great, someone's singing at 6 a.m. That will be really good. And I rounded the corner, and there was this precious lady there at a counter. You know, one of the little news agency kind of things in an airport. Potato chips, crackers, you know, that kind of thing. And she had a big cross on her neck, and she said, Happy Easter! And I looked right at her, and I said, Happy Easter to you too! And she said, Oh, it's a glorious morning! And I said, Only a little bit for me! And she said, Yes, but it's Easter. We give thanks for God's glory. I said, Hallelujah. And then I said, And the devil didn't know Easter was coming. And she leaned over and she said, But he do now. And I thought to myself, I'm back home again. So I'm going to incorporate that somehow in the liturgies from now on. But he do now. So I have some stories to tell you. I was in Knoxville to help Sheila bury her father. I left Maundy Thursday night, came back late last night. So it's been a whirlwind trip. And heard lots of stories. I saw lots of stories. So when family comes and supports you, in the South, the burial customs are different than here. There's a lot of sitting a spell and coming to view the body and this kind of thing. And just to see family and friends show up, that's a story, isn't it? It's a story that you see in action. And then to be at the graveside where the pastor declares that he's not in this body, but because of the work of Jesus Christ, we who believe in him and place our faith in him can have eternal life. That's a great story in sight. It's a seeing a story, isn't it? And as I was flying back home, I saw some stories, I thought of some stories. We flew over Chattanooga. And if you know anything about Chattanooga, there's some wonderful topography there, and it was the scene of some significant Civil War battles. There's Lookout Mountain, there's Missionary Ridge, there is Chickamauga Battlefield, and we flew right over it. And my mind immediately went back to those terrible battles. We flew over the Great Plains, we flew over the desert. I heard another story on the plane. The guy behind me was from Texas, and he was coming here to California. And he was talking about how glad he was to get out of Texas because all those conservative Christians are so cruel and judgmental and unkind. And boy, was he glad to get out of there so that he could be in a place where he would be more accepted and find a better, more, what would be the word, sympathetic to his life and values and so on. And beloved, that's a story too, isn't it? And I did not condemn him. I grieved because I used to be one of those conservative fundamental types who told a different kind of story. And then I got home last night and Peppy was really glad to see me. And when he's especially glad to see me, he takes his jaw and he goes, ha 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 ha, on the side of my nose, just barely. And my sister does the same thing. It's the weirdest thing. It's this little family thing we do. Another kind of story. Some stories are ones that I didn't really know about. Dad was reminding me of the time that my brother Tom chunked a rock off the top of Bill McBee's head. I didn't remember that story. And then mother had a little story about her growing up. And then during the course of Sheila's father's funeral, there were stories that some people in the crowd knew. Do you remember the time that we had the picnic at the thing? And some of us did and some of us didn't. But what I was reminded of this weekend is that the best stories are the ones that we all know, that we're all in on. And so that's what made that moment so precious when I sang, "The devil didn't know Sunday was coming," and she said, "But he do now." Because we both knew the story. And it's not just a story, it's not just a myth. We know the story of God in the world. We know the big story. So I want to tell it to you this morning. In the very long ago, before time began, there was and is to come a creator God who created everything lovingly and carefully and with great attention to detail. This creator God made all that you see. There is nothing that you see that he did not make. And the pinnacle of that creation was humankind. And the first words out of mankind's lips were not gibberish and grunts, but rather a beautiful poem about how precious it is when man and woman come together. And as the pinnacle of creation, God gave them dominion over all that he had created. But he also gave them choice. And in that beautiful place where they lived, there was our ancient adversary, the devil, the serpent, a liar, who hated them as much as he hated a creator God. And the seed of the woman, we'll get to that in a minute, later did battle with the seed of that serpent, but the enmity between the two has gone on for a very, very long time. And so man, in his hubris, was beguiled by the enemy into exchanging worship. Can you imagine? Exchanging worship of the creator with worship of the creature. And it was at that moment that the whole world turned upside down. And things that used to seem pure and good no longer did. And things that were distasteful and forbidden now became paramount. And in some ways, we've been struggling with that ever since. God wanted to provide a way back to himself for the pinnacle of his creation. And so in a variety of covenants down through the ages, he provided various means and ways to come back into fellowship with him. God gave patriarchs, leaders, and slowly and surely he pulled back the curtains of revelation of himself as people like Noah, Job, and Abraham, and Moses revealed God's goodness and glory. And even farther back did those curtains of revelation pull when God then revealed himself to a people as he called out from Egypt. You know the story. A whole nation was raised up by God himself and brought to a good land, a place that probably looked an awful lot like the garden in the long ago, flowing with milk and honey, Scripture says. And along the way, God provided more leaders and people to interface between him and his creation. Judges. But ultimately, God wanted to be the sovereign over these people. And yet, in a familiar pattern, the people rejected God and said, "No, I see something that is attractive to the eye and seems good for food, and that's a king." And so the ancient adversary beguiled them again and talked them out of worshiping Yahweh and really centering on themselves. And they demanded a king. And so a series of kings ruled these people until finally they couldn't even put up with each other. The kingdom was split in two, wars and conflicts and being carted off to foreign lands, coming and going and back and forth again. That plan seems to have been thwarted by the enemy. So in the fullness of time, God provided his very own Son, begotten before the ages, who was with the Father and the Spirit back in the garden in the long ago when it all started, and even before that. And he sent him to provide the ultimate means back. The priests could not do that. The priests could not restore the relationship between the Creator and the creation. The writer of Hebrews tells us that they had to keep sacrificing year after year and generation after generation because people die and because no blood sacrifice of an animal is sufficient to provide that way back. And so Jesus himself comes, very God, of the same essence as the Father, the very image and icon. And he comes and he lays down his life willingly. Once and for all, he dies. He is buried. He is dead. Here's where the story becomes a lot bigger than just today. Because we've already talked about the long ago, the ancient, and now we are here on this Easter Sunday morning, standing before the table of the Lord, about in a few moments to remember that upper room encounter where they ate and drank. And on that first Easter Sunday morning, they discovered a wonderful piece of God's story. They learned an important piece of the puzzle. They saw a story in action. When they rushed to the tomb and discovered that it was empty, and the angels said, "Why are you looking here? For he has risen just as he said." And in that dying and burial and rising again, Jesus Christ, once and for all, the seed of the woman, defeated the seed of the serpent and canceled our ancestral certificate of indebtedness. It is finished. It's all done. It has been accomplished in Christ Jesus. The story doesn't stop there. It was that morning that the devil finally realized that Easter's coming. Some skirmishes continue, though, because we live in between the cross and consummation. Jesus Christ, 40 days later, ascended bodily to the Father. So very important piece of theology. We know where he went. We know what he is doing. His mission is not over, but continues at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And we know that he will return in like manner someday, and may it be soon. But until then, we continue to live and move in him and walk out our baptisms day by day by day, reminding the devil that he is defeated, and anticipating Christ's return someday, telling the story. Because the best stories are the ones that everybody knows. The best stories are the ones where you can say a little piece of it at 6 a.m. at Charlotte International Airport and somebody sings it back to you. That's a life changer. That's not the end of the story. In fact, the story doesn't have an end. Because someday, Jesus Christ will return, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And listen, between now and then, I'm not sure what heaven looks like, but we can be sure that one day there's going to be a new creation. Oh, I can't wait. We will be reunited with our bodies. We believe in the resurrection, and they are going to be glorified and like his. Don't know what that's going to be like. But someday, my precious wife is going to have eternity to talk with her daddy. And the saints who have gone before us, we will have an eternity to be with them and to explore this wonderful creation and to feast at the table with rich wine and marrow and a cup overflowing. I can't wait. And it will go on and on and on into eternity. And I'll bet we'll wonder why we even worried about stuff in this life. My goodness, it will all pale in comparison next to the glorious coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our eternity with him. The best stories are the ones that everybody knows and that have no end. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white, an angel, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." So I tell you this morning, the most wonderful story of all. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. One final post note. What a tragedy if we go from this place today and not tell people the story that they ought to know. You hear the traffic going by? My mind goes back to the young man who's leaving Texas because of all those hypocritical Christians. Mercy. How ugly and unkind and judgmental and rude we have been when we have the best story of all. Let's go tell it. I was asked one time, what do you think the most important missional thing we should do missionally is in our church? And I thought a minute and I said, be kind. Let's go tell the story and share it. If you look carefully enough, you may find somebody who will sing it back to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this resurrection day, for the truth of it, for what it means. We give you thanks that the devil do know now. And Lord, I pray that as we prepare to come to your table, especially on this marvelous day, we would see you standing among us in your risen power. No empty symbol here, rather a meal of covenant renewal in your own body and blood. And while we don't understand it, we will embrace the mystery and give you thanks for it because we love you so. One more thing, Lord. Would you empower us through the person and work of the Holy Spirit to tell your story so that other people will know it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.